Some of you may be surprised to hear that some of our North American Mission Board missionaries are not native English speakers. And the beauty of that is that God has sovereignly brought the nations to our nation. And when we can reach those nations here in this country, do you know what then happens? They go back to their native country with the gospel that we have shared with them in this country. It is awesome and incredible how the North American Mission Board is working and strategizing in the world in which we live today, 2024, to reach the nations with the gospel. And so I would encourage you to continue to pray and to give financially appropriately. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to turn to Luke chapter 4 and verse 31. Luke chapter 4 and verse 31. This morning we are going to consider a message entitled Jesus's Absolute Authority. Jesus's Absolute Authority. Now I'm going to talk about something this morning that is traditionally not a sermon topic in many Baptist churches. And it is the topic of physical healing. Physical healing. The healing of someone who is sick. The healing of someone who is physically impaired. Now, most of the time when you hear that phrase, healing ministry, many of you probably think of an individual, a human being, maybe someone that you've heard about, maybe someone that you've watched on television, maybe something that you've seen on the internet. Personally, and you're welcome to disagree, but personally, I do not believe that the spiritual gift of healing for an individual still exists in 2024. However, does the Lord Jesus still heal today? Absolutely, he does. He heals today, he'll heal tomorrow, he'll heal until he returns. And so, yes, individuals are healed. The Lord Jesus does the healing. But I think personally we are beyond the days of an individual man or an individual woman with the spiritual gift of healing. But today we're going to talk about multiple instances of healing in the life of the Lord Jesus, even though that's not the main point of this text. The main point of this text is Jesus's absolute authority. But he uses these miracles to authenticate his message. And that's what we're going to see this morning. If you have found Luke chapter 4 and verse 31, I would invite you to stand in honor of God's word this morning. Following along as I read, beginning in verse 31 and then through the end of the chapter, Luke chapter 4, verse 44. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Do you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. And so he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Let's pray together. Father, over these next few moments, I pray that we would do the very best that we can, and then also enabled by your Spirit to tune out anything that is concerning us from the previous days, or anything that has our attention this next week already. But Lord, help us to focus and to tune in to you and to your word and what you want to say. And I trust you will use your Spirit to convict of lostness those who are not saved. And I trust and pray that you would use your Spirit to mold and shape those who are saved more into the image of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. If you'll remember from recent Sundays, Jesus' primary ministry is a teaching, preaching ministry. And we see that here in beginning in verse 31. Now he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. And I made the point last week, and in your mind, if you can kind of view or treat Galilee maybe as a county or a larger area of land, with Capernaum being a particular town or a particular city, but relatively close to where Jesus was from, in Nazareth. And so he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them. So again, we're reminded, Jesus' primary ministry is not one of healing. That is secondary. His primary ministry is teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God. And if you'll also remember that he first went seeking to minister to his countrymen. First seeking to minister to and share about the kingdom of God with the nation of Israel. We see there at the end of verse 31, he was teaching them on the Sabbaths. Well, it would be the Jews who would be recognizing the Sabbath, sundown on Friday night until sundown on Saturday. Verse 32, and they were astonished at his teaching. Your translation may say amazed. For his word was with authority. We're talking about Jesus' absolute authority this morning. And you here find for the first time that word authority in verse 32. You'll find it again in verse 36. For with authority and power he commanded. And so Jesus' absolute authority is what we are focusing on this morning. But it was authenticated or affirmed or demonstrated through a series of miracles. through a series of supernatural experiences. These miracles validate Jesus' message. These miracles prove his absolute authority. And so we're going to look at the miracles this morning. Not the main point, but to support and affirm and authenticate and validate and demonstrate the main point. Notice beginning in verse 33 that Jesus' absolute authority was affirmed when he healed an individual spiritually. He healed an individual spiritually. Verse 33 says, "Now in the synagogue," again, that's how we know that Jesus went to the nation of Israel first. He always started his ministry in the local synagogue of the local town or city in which he went. Now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice. Notice what he said in verse 34. "Let us alone." Does that "us" include the demon and the man? Possibly. Does it include the demon who is speaking and more demons? Possibly. But regardless, this was a demon-possessed individual. And the demon, again, speaking in verse 34, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?" The demon was well aware of who Jesus was, where he was from, and what he was capable of. By the way, in the same way that you are seeing the presence of a real demon here on the pages of Scripture in Luke chapter 4, I believe that real demons still exist today. And I also believe that the Bible says that in the same way that demons are real today, just as they were 2,000 years ago, their purpose is your demise. They are evil. And they will seek to make your life, if you're a follower of Christ, they will seek to make your life on earth a living hell. How do they do that? They inflict you physically. They seek to destroy your marriage. They want to bankrupt your business. They want to end any good, healthy, biblical relationships that you have. Their desire, if they cannot threaten you spiritually or eternally, their desire is to hurt you while on earth. They are real. They are evil. And brothers and sisters, please don't take them for granted. They are powerful. You see somewhat of their physical power there in verse 35. "When the demon had thrown him in their midst." Now, they are not all powerful. They are not omnipotent. There's only one who is omnipotent. But they are powerful. And so give them the respect that they deserve because of what we know about them from God's word. But this man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out. And again, this demon knew exactly who Jesus was, the Holy One of God, knew where he was from, of Nazareth, verse 34 says, and knew exactly what he was capable of. "Do you come to destroy us?" However, this demon right here in Luke chapter 4 in verse 34 is proof positive that you don't just need knowledge to save. This demon was knowledgeable. This demon knew the truth. But brothers and sisters, we need more than knowledge to save us. We need a personal experience with Jesus Christ. Yes, we need the knowledge. Yes, we need to know the biblical truth. But James chapter 2 in verse 19 reminds us, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. We must believe, and the gospel tells us, and repent. Believe and repent, putting your faith and trust in Christ. This demon had believed, but there was no repentance, and therefore no salvation. But Jesus rebuked the demon, verse 35, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And what did the demon do? Because the demon was inferior to the Lord Jesus, verse 35 says, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Well, what do you think happened next? Look at verse 36. Then they were all amazed. And they begin initially to connect the dots. Oh, this man, Jesus, his word is powerful. It is authoritative. And how do we know that? Because we just saw him remove a demon from a man. He healed this individual spiritually. The word continued to get out. Verse 37, the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Look at verse 38. Not only was Jesus' absolute authority affirmed when he healed this individual spiritually, but beginning in verse 38, you're going to see that Jesus' absolute authority was affirmed when he healed an in-law physically. Verse 38, now Jesus arose from the synagogue, and he entered Simon's house. Do you know this man? This is none other than Peter. Simon Peter, the mouthpiece of the disciples, the man that we will see throughout the rest of the Gospel of Luke, bold and also brash, and sometimes opening his mouth and inserting a foot or two. But Jesus entered Simon's house, and notice the rest of verse 38, but Simon's wife's mother was sick. This is Peter's mother-in-law, if you didn't make that connection. By the way, if you ever had the notion, because certainly some do, that leaders of the congregation or ministers should not be married or should not own property, those two ideas don't have their basis in God's word. Right here you see Peter was married. Peter owned his own home. And there in his house was his wife's mother, and she was sick. And all of the other gospels simply say she had a fever. But that's not how Dr. Luke describes it. He says it was a high fever. And that's unique to his gospel, again, because he was a physician. Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of Jesus concerning her. And so he stood over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. Notice that word rebuked there in verse 39. Demonstrating Jesus' absolute authority, he rebuked the fever. In the same way, back in verse 35, he rebuked the demon. And you're going to see him one more time before we finish rebuking or commanding a healing to occur. Notice at the end of verse 39 that once the fever left her, immediately she arose and served them. Brothers and sisters, please understand that God in heaven never saved you so that you can sit and soak on a pew on Sunday mornings. He saved you so that you might serve him by serving others. What is your ministry? What is your personal ministry? Is it serving in our choir? Is it serving on our security team? Is it serving in our nursery? Is it serving in Backpack Buddies? Is it serving in Kids Praise? What is your personal ministry? Because Jesus saved you so that you would serve him by serving others. And so that's what you have here, even though this is a picture of Peter's mother-in-law being physically healed, it's a picture also of us being spiritually healed. That God saves us so that we might serve him by serving others. Jesus is absolute authority, now for the second time. Affirmed, authenticated, validated, demonstrated when he healed an in-law physically. But there's a third occasion. A third occasion there in verse 40. Jesus demonstrated his absolute authority by healing an individual spiritually, by healing an in-law physically, and thirdly, by healing in mass completely. Healing in mass completely. Brothers and sisters, if words have meaning, and I believe that they do, notice the wording used here in verse 40. When the sun was setting, why is that significant? Well, this is now late Saturday night. The Sabbath is over. People are feeling free to travel. And not only travel personally, but to bring their friends, families, neighbors, and acquaintances to the Lord Jesus. When the sun was setting, notice this word, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on, notice this, if words have meaning, every one of them and healed them. Jesus healed in mass, the masses, the multitudes, completely. The demons, verse 41, also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, notice this word, now for the third time, he rebuked the demon, he rebuked the fever, and he rebuked more demons in verse 41, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. And then chapter 4 ends, our text ends today, in much the same way that we began. Look at verse 42. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. Why? Well, they wanted him to heal more people. They wanted to see more signs. They wanted to see more wonders. They wanted to see more miracles. But notice what Jesus said in verse 43. He said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. He didn't say I've come to heal people. He didn't say I come to make the lame walk and the blind to see. He said I came to preach. Jesus' primary ministry, brothers and sisters, was a preaching, teaching ministry that was authenticated by his healing ministry. Verse 44, and he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee, all around the county of Galilee. Jesus had been to Nazareth. He had been to Capernaum. All around Galilee, starting with his countrymen, going into the synagogue. Let me share with you two thoughts this morning before we are done. When we think about healing this morning, I want to remind you and contend to you that spiritual healing is far greater than physical healing. Let me say that again. Spiritual healing is far greater and far more important than physical healing. Now, is Jesus the great physician? Amen. Absolutely. Is he the miraculous healer? Amen. And absolutely. Have we seen this morning on the pages of Scripture Jesus healing physically? Amen. Absolutely. We'll continue to do that throughout the Gospel of Luke. But what does it matter, brothers and sisters, if a husband or a father, a wife or a mother, a brother or a sister is completely healed of cancer, but yet dies and spends an eternity in hell separated from Christ? What does that matter? And so because of that truth, not only should we pray earnestly and regularly and fervently for physical healing, but brothers and sisters, we must pray in the same way for the lost to be saved. Amen. For your spouse and your parents and your children and your neighbors and your co-workers, for God to convict them of their lostness, to remove the blinders from their eyes and to give them faith to believe. Because cancer is not going to keep anybody out of the kingdom of heaven. Diabetes is not going to keep anybody out of the kingdom of heaven. But a lack of faith and a lack of belief will. And so we must pray for spiritual healing, because it is far greater than physical healing. But then there's another thought here. And through the years, and I'll specifically say in the last 10 years, it has affected how I pray for you. I have come to the conviction from God's word that I am to pray, and I would invite you to do the same, for physical healing. Again, I'm not saying I have the gift of physical healing. I don't think anybody in here has the gift of physical healing. I don't even think anybody apart from Jesus Christ today can physically heal. But I'm praying for physical healing because I believe that is God's will. Brother Richard, why would you say that? Well, this is kind of where you might not normally hear this in a Baptist church. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 6. And bear with me because I'm almost finished. Matthew chapter 6 includes the Lord's Prayer. And as a part of the Lord's Prayer, notice specifically verse 10. We are instructed to pray by Jesus, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, how is the will of the Lord done in heaven? Perfectly. Without sin and also without sickness. So I am to pray. That's what Jesus says. You as a follower of Christ are to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, perfectly. Well, what is heaven like? So glad you asked. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. A verse that many of you know, you've heard, you love, because it describes heaven. And this is one of the things that we love about heaven most. Revelation 21, 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. There is no sickness in heaven, brothers and sisters. There is no disease in heaven. There is no malady in heaven. There is no cancer in heaven. And remember, we've been encouraged and instructed to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so when I pray for you, and I would invite you to, when you pray for others, if they are lost, pray that they will be saved. And if they are sick, pray that they would be healed by the hand of Jesus. Obviously, there are instances when healing is not God's will. I understand that. I get that. Sometimes, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there are even instances where sickness can be a part of God's discipline. Passage of scripture we read monthly. Regarding the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. They're not literally sleeping. That's another way to say that they have died. So some people are sick because of their sin, but I'll never know that. The only person that would ever know that would be the individual who is sick. So until I know otherwise, I'm praying for healing. Because God said, pray for my will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. One last passage of scripture and then we'll be done. James chapter 9. Pardon me, James chapter 5. If you are sick this morning, if you are diseased this morning, I believe God's word gives us instruction how we are to pray. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, anointing with oil is not a unique feature of charismatic churches. It ought to be a feature of every Bible-believing church. And if you are sick, if you have a disease, if you have an illness, and you were to come to my office and ask for me to pray over you and to anoint you with oil, I would be delighted to do that. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're sick this morning and you personally know that you're sick because it's God's hand of discipline on your life, then this passage of Scripture encourages you to confess and to repent. And once you confess and repent, then the invitation is for all of us to call on the elders, to pray, and to believe that God's will is for healing. Because again, we are to pray for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And brothers and sisters, Jesus has the absolute authority. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, more than anything else today, if you have heard my voice this morning explaining to you the good news of Jesus Christ, that he has come to be the Savior of the world, to be your Savior, and the Holy Spirit has convicted you in such a way this morning that you know that you are lost and you are on your way to hell, separated from Christ. If today you will believe and repent, when we are singing and standing in just a few moments, I would invite you to make your way here to the front, responding publicly to God's word. And come to greet me or Brother Ronnie as we await. And just simply say, today I want to be saved. Today I want to be saved from my sins. We would be delighted, overjoyed to celebrate you and pray with you and counsel with you. We welcome that response this morning. Maybe you're here today and you are saved, but you haven't done what Vic and Marcy did at the beginning of our service today. You have never followed the Lord's example of baptism. If today you would come this morning wanting to be obedient to the word of the Lord and uniting with Emory Baptist Church, we would welcome you today. Maybe you want to be a part of a congregation where you can minister and you can serve God by serving others. And God has said to you, the Emory Baptist Church is for you. We'd love to welcome you today. And so we say our invitation is for you. Maybe others of you just simply need to pray where you are. You're more than welcome to pray here at the front. But we would invite you to respond appropriately to God's word. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for Jesus' absolute authority and how it was authenticated on the pages of Scripture through Jesus' healing ministry. Father, let us proclaim Jesus' absolute authority in the lives that we live, and let us be surrendered to that absolute authority in every area of our life. Father, again, thank you for your word. Pray that you would be at work in our midst now, as you have been already. In Jesus' name that we pray. Would you stand to your feet very quietly and very reverently? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front today, would you respond to God's word?